Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loaded Bar Podcast. Parker McBride here, joined as always by my co-host, Matt Wasko, and a couple of very special guests that we have today. We promised you guys last week. Today, we are welcoming on Fallon Giles and Lexi Beach. So, Matt, Lexi, Fallon, how are we doing today?
Doing good. We had a great workout this morning.
Couple of great workouts,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did, for sure.
A leg day followed by a HIIT class. Mm-hmm. What more could you ask for?
Oh, I could think of a few things. But we started the day out right, so that's what's important.
Yes. Yep, best way to start a Saturday. How's it going today, Matt?
It's good. We've been trying to get these two on for how long?
It's been months.
Months. Trying to organize their schedules.
Yeah. Lots of scheduling conflicts that popped up.
Yes. So yeah, last minute, you know. So
had
finally,
to take the dog for a walk. wash their hair.
Clean their purse.
I mean, we were trying to dodge it for a while. Here we are.
But here they are. So, Matt, last week me and you made our Chiefs predictions.
Yeah.
How did that turn out? Turned out pretty good for both of us.
I'm catching up.
Well, you're not making up any ground because we both predicted a win,
but won. But I'm winning.
That's true. You're getting some wins on the board now. Yeah. What are you, 2-2?
2-2.
I'm 4-0. So yeah. What have we got this week? Monday night football against the Buccaneers at home. Any of you guys going to the game?
Not going to the game, but I will be watching.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, what's your prediction for the Buccaneers at the Chiefs on Monday?
Are we going to do this at the beginning of the show?
Is this the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
You need time to think about
let's
it?
Do it?
Like you're going to change your prediction after the show?
I'm saying we're going to win 30-14.
Ooh, blown out pretty good.
I'm waiting for that offense to wake up.
Yeah, it's got to at some point.
Yeah. It's got to wake up.
I'm going to say lower scoring game. I'm going to go Chiefs 20, Buccaneers 17. Close game.
So what's going to happen here is we're going to keep picking the Chiefs. You're always going to stay two games ahead of me. And then when they finally lose, then I'll still be two games ahead of me. So I don't know how I'm going to catch up.
You have to pick different than me at some point. You can have me start going first,
and then you could
just pick the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got any predictions for Monday's Chiefs game?
I'm not making a prediction because I never have, and we don't need to lose.
Okay.
That means we lose.
I'm going to say Chiefs 17, Buccaneers 13.
Ooh,
I think it's going to be pretty
good.
Close.
Even lower scoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We got all the extremes here today, but everyone picking a Chiefs win, so no one's going to make up any ground on anybody today.
No.
All right. Well, now we're going to jump into our Fit Focus like we do every week. Got an interesting article actually published yesterday by a lady named Annie Friedman on Fortune.com. Matt, I want to see what you think of this. The title of the article reads, "You Might Be Overdoing It on Protein and Not Getting Enough of Another Vital Nutrient," dietitians say. So when you hear, "You might be overdoing it on protein," what do you think of, Matt?
Might be overdoing it on protein. I guess they're not getting in their other nutrition.
Well, that's possible.
But here's the thing. It's like meat has almost everything you need in it.
All other nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure without reading the story where this is going.
What they suggest is that protein is overeaten and fiber is undereaten.
I could maybe see that a little bit.
Yeah, the lack of fiber in meat
and
protein. And then there is fiber in a lot of non-protein foods like fruits, vegetables, beans, things like that. And they're saying more of the fiber-filled foods, less of the protein foods. I figured you might have a bone to pick with that.
Yeah, I think it's baloney.
You're a high-protein guy. I'm a
high-protein guy. Yeah.
What do you guys think about the protein versus fiber debate?
Well, I think you need both. So if you're eating not good sources of protein, then obviously you're not going to be getting what you need. So maybe that's what they're saying. People aren't eating the proper source of protein.
And yeah.
Rather than, I don't, the meats.
Yeah. What do you think, Alan?
I like a good mix of my protein. I mean, I'm definitely more protein dominant with my, I get a lot of my protein in from being, you know, a nurse and busy all the time. I get a lot of my protein in through my shakes. So I feel like that's kind of got a lot of the nutrients that are in every single meat product or protein that you have. But I do think like the fiber is a good component for like your digestive system really
exactly.
helping.
Both are necessary, but there's a quote here from a dietitian. He says, if you're meeting your caloric needs, then you're meeting your protein needs. Which I think is very incorrect.
Yeah, that's...
I would say that's baloney.
Baloney, that's correct.
Me also.
That was, I was choosing the politically correct word because I wanted to say something else. But yes, it's baloney.
Yeah, because you can meet your... Most people are meeting their calorie needs and falling deficient in protein. He also says the message that people aren't getting enough protein isn't really true.
That's false.
How many people do you see, Matt, that aren't getting enough protein when you analyze their...
Are these before they come to me
before
or after?
Before they come. Or, oh, or like when they
almost
come.
Almost 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost
most people, I would have to look up the exact recommendation, but I think the recommendation for protein from the FDA guidelines is, what, 60, 80 grams a day? Somewhere around
that's
there.
That's unbelievably terrible.
Less than half of what most humans should be getting.
Right.
How much protein do you guys typically eat a day in your nutrition plans?
I think I get like at least 100 grams of protein.
At least 100? Mm-hmm. Don't know specifically though.
No,
how much it
not
is.
Specifically.
A perfect day, I'm trying to get 140 grams to 150. Most of the time, if I'm busy at work, realistically, I'm probably only getting like 100, 120-ish. So on days I don't work, though, I really tried to make sure I'm prioritizing and hitting my 140, 150 goal.
Would you say you've always ate that amount of protein?
No, not until I got a proper meal plan and dietitians at my side.
And what have you noticed now that you have increased your protein to that level?
Well, I think that I shed a lot of fat, I would say. I built a ton of muscle, and then I'm much more energetic. I'm not eating as much sweets as I would because I'm filling my body with what it needs rather than what I want. Which is probably sweet, but whenever I eat the protein first, I'm full, so then I really don't want anything else after.
Yep, that's exactly the way that meal plan works.
That makes sense. So the specific recommendations that the guy gives in this article, he said someone weighing about 150 pounds should aim for 54 to 82 grams of protein per day.
Oh. Wow.
So, Lexi, you're rocking like 2 to 3 times the recommendation
the FDA.
Here.
That's crazy. That's like nothing.
Another thing to think about is, he said in that article, if you're eating the correct amount of calories, you're getting your protein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about how many. I just talked to one of our trainers here. She's eating 4,300 calories.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not, and she's lean.
She's got a lot of muscle, but she's got a lot of lean muscle.
Right. So she's lean, but it's the type of calories that matter. You know, dirty calories can get you fat. Clean calories you can eat a lot of and stay lean.
Well, it ties us back a little bit to what we talked about last week with the Halloween candy.
Right.
Almost all that candy had no protein in it, other than what, like the Butterfinger or something?
And the Reese's.
So what if you ate all of your calories from candy? Is this guy suggesting that you would have enough protein?
Because he just says French fries. We don't want to leave those.
Or French fries, any of it. But there's so many foods out there from a macronutrient perspective that we know contain little to no protein.
Right.
If you're eating those foods, you're getting either carbs or fats or both.
Mm-hmm.
you're not getting protein. So how are you ever going to meet your protein goals? You have to specifically pick foods that have a high protein content, make that the base of your diet, get to your protein goal, and then kind of backfill with everything else. The fact that protein can be an afterthought is ridiculous, kind of laughable. I can't believe, after seeing the results that we've seen in people, how the mainstream science can still be saying this.
Well, how many articles have we looked at in the last 6-7 months that are just completely in error? You know, I mean, makes me think of back when we were looking at the M&M study, and they rated M&Ms higher than red meat.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bill Gates study.
Bill Gates Foundation. He said possum was one of the better ones. So this is the insanity out there. And this is the things that when people come in, it's not just about training them. It's also about educating their fitness and understanding their nutrition. So
teaching them why the mainstream may not be the best thing to follow and why they may not have the best interests in mind.
Right.
Because if you're, you know, relatively uneducated when it comes to your own health, you're going to read these mainstream news articles and you're just going to assume that they're right because you don't know any different.
Well, it's not even it's not just mainstream. It's also the medical community. Sorry, guys. But it's also the medical community. Like, I have at least 3 clients right now. They're on statin, and I've advised them to talk to a functional medicine doctor to get them off of that because it's terrible for you.
I mean, a functional nutritional?
Yeah. Functional nutritionist. I think he's a functional doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so, you know, people just have like a heart issue and they automatically put you on statin. I mean, is this protocol?
If your cholesterol's high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cholesterol, or if you just had like an episode with your heart, like let's say you had a stroke, immediately statin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. So then after talking about the protein recommendations, it does later in the article, he talks about getting enough fiber. It says to add high fiber foods in your diet. Let's go through some of these foods that he recommends, and I want your guys' opinion on them a little bit. Beans and lentils for fiber, which are good options.
Yeah, I like them.
You know, the thing about black beans or any sort of beans is they're usually pretty low calorie. They're high fiber. Mm-hmm. They're a good thing to add with a protein source.
And they're also easy.
Yeah, they are. Oh, they're very easy. So if you're going with like a protein source, a meat of some kind, a ground beef or something, you add beans with it, that's going to make a really good high protein, high fiber meal.
Mm-hmm. And filling.
Very filling.
Very filling. Fruits and vegetables, obviously. And he just lists all sorts of fruits and vegetables. We know those are fantastic for fiber. Good for snacking. Mm-hmm. You guys ever like to snack on fruits and vegetables?
Yes. And I think if you're eating more fruits, it also, while it is helping with fiber, it's also helping, curve your sugar craving, like your sweet craving, because that is your sweetness. Mm-hmm. And you would not probably have a cookie later if you trade for fruit instead.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you gotta watch what fruits you're having. Like, you're not gonna wanna eat just straight pineapple, I don't think, really. I think more of like your blueberries and strawberries for snacking, or, you know.
Your blueberries are at the top of the list as far as the best fruit.
The best fruit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like people would say banana, and you're like,
The only problem I have with vegetables is the amino acids in them are not super bioavailable. Mm-hmm. There are inhibitors in them that makes them the body doesn't absorb them very well.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be a good source of protein.
No.
But your protein is your good source of protein, you know, and your fruits serve other purposes. Fallon, expand a little bit on why blueberries are a better choice than pineapple. Putting you on the spot.
Well,
you just mentioned that you wouldn't want to eat pineapple all day, but you would want to eat blueberries.
Well, pineapples, I think, like, is way more soaked in, like, sugar content for your pineapple. Or, like I was saying, the banana, that's all it processes into straight sugars. But the blueberry, I mean, I don't know. It's just he's more snackable for me. I don't really know why it's healthier or the reason behind it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also an antioxidant, isn't it?
Blueberries are.
Yeah. Like a big one.
But her point there about the sugar content, which the fruit sugar is a lot better than the processed sugar, like we've talked about on this podcast. It's not a bad thing, but if you are looking to limit your sugar intake, your glycemic index on your foods, blueberry is going to be a lot better choice than a pineapple.
Yeah.
Pineapple, mango, banana, all higher sugar fruits, berries usually, so blueberries, strawberries,
raspberries,
all lower sugar options. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, if you eat a lot of pineapple, and I can speak to this because I had a lot of pineapple there, I put into my shakes every day. It'll start to make your tongue go raw.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's another reason why I can't eat pineapple. It's just the acid in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the next ones he lists a few more: popcorn, avocados, oatmeal, chia seeds, and flax seeds. You guys, got any opinions about any of those fiber sources?
We use more avocados. Yeah, I always use my avocados for my fat, my healthy fat.
Yeah. A good source of fiber, apparently, too. So, but they are a healthy fat.
Isn't there a debate on how effective, really, fiber is?
Yes, there is. So, and obviously, this guy is a big proponent of fiber. there are people who have succeeded on low to no fiber diets.
Yeah.
And have done just fine digestively.
Well, I would put psyllium husk in front of fiber.
Yeah.
Psyllium husk is a better, I think, healthier for you. And when I've had high fiber, it tends to do the opposite for me.
Yeah.
So.
And this goes back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, figuring out what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So not everybody's the same. It's like the guy that did the egg study, ate all the eggs, and his cholesterol went down. Ate 720 eggs in a month, and his cholesterol went down.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's insane.
And, you know, that's not what they tell us, that the mainstream tells us would happen. So, you know, figure out for yourself if a high-fiber diet works for you, great. If a low-fiber diet works for you, great. But fiber is not as essential for everybody as protein. I would never recommend somebody go low-protein diet, but if a low-fiber diet's working better for somebody, I would recommend it for them.
Well, there's some concrete truths, right? One of them is high protein. Fiber is one of those things where you can have kind of that, you know, high fiber works great for you, great. Low fiber works great for you, great. But there's some consistent truth to when it comes to protein. If you want to build muscle, you want to lose weight, you just keep the protein high and play with the other two.
Yeah.
And so if you want to add muscle, bring up the carbs. You want to cut, bring down the carbs. That's my approach. Now, we have another trainer in here, a couple trainers here that don't do it that way. You know, they have a different method. They're worried about insulin levels, you know, with your carbs being low. And I was like, well, I have 15 people right now doing that exact. I've done 15 meal plans. All of them are having success. None of them are having insulin issues. So.
Well, I know when we've done meal plans before, like you said, it's a little different and tailored for everybody. You always ask me up front, what do you like process better? Do you process your carbs better or do you process fats better? So for me, I process fats better. So I keep my carb intake low, a little bit lower, increase the healthy fats. So that's a little bit more, would be more tailored to me versus somebody that is completely the opposite. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a matter of approach and philosophy. You know, something that we're going to probably cover on our next show a little bit is I've had some pushback from some of our fellow trainers here at the gym on the nutritional approach and on milk. So that's something we'll have a third show on.
We've talked about milk before. We actually had a whole episode dedicated to raw milk, didn't we?
I was going to say, you guys could. You're very passionate about milk, both of you. You really are.
Well, you're definitely pro whole milk.
That is, well, pro whole unpasteurized
milk. Yeah, unpasteurized milk, yes.
Raw milk.
Which we said before, milk shouldn't have modifiers in front of it. It should just be milk, and we, you know, it's just straight from the cow.
Agreed. Well, any more comments on the protein fiber debate, Fallon or Lexi?
No, I think you should eat protein more than that article says.
More protein than.
That's right. I would say all of us sitting around this table eat at least 2 to 3 times what that article is recommending. And I think we're in pretty good shape.
Sounds
these
good.
Two just did a really intense leg day followed by a really intense cardio class, and now they're sitting here doing a podcast, so you can't really argue for their diets being too far off.
Yeah, they still look good.
That's right. Not keeled over on the floor yet.
Yeah. We're doing okay.
So, guys, I want to dive in a little bit to talking to you a little bit. So first, we're having you guys on together, and I want to talk a little bit about why we wanted to have you guys on together. So you guys have built what I would call a very good friendship. You guys come from a little bit different backgrounds, but you do have some commonalities in your life. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys came to be friends.
I actually don't really remember. I joined a gym, and Fallon just happened to be at the same gym, and we had about the same, at the time, I think our strength was similar, and we have very similar personalities and views. So I think that we kind of just clicked. I don't know. And then 2 years later, we're besties. And you can't separate us.
Yeah.
No. So
if one of them's going to come to the gym workout, you can pretty much just assume the other one's going to be here with them.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's just kind of happened at the gym. There's a few of you, like we talked to Jamie and Liz. They're besties. Mm-hmm. They work out together, do a lot of things together. So that gym has fostered several friendships.
Mm-hmm. You know, the gym is a great place to meet friends. That was one of the things. We had a new attendee to our HIIT class today, and that was one of the things I asked her about why she attended, and she said for the community and to be able to meet people, talk to people was one of the main reasons she came. Also for the workout,
awesome.
Too.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Well, and that's something we're trying to push here, is community.
100%.
Yeah.
So, Fallon, what's the story from your perspective?
Well, I pretty much just walked in and said, Lexi, do you want to be my best friend? And it usually works for me.
Yeah, people just kind of gravitate towards Fallon. I don't know what it is. She's kind of walks
in. She's very approachable. She's very approachable.
But no, yeah, like Lexi said, like I remember when I came, I think you were there maybe a month before me or so.
I thought you were there first.
I don't know. No, I think you were there first. And then I noticed that like Lexi and me, we were both just kind of like worked out the same intensity. And we, you know, would do the same workouts together, and we just instantly kind of clicked, and personality, and be like, we'd shoot the shit. Pardon my language, sorry.
We also have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Like, we're both nurses, so we were able to bond over that. We always went to the gym at the same time because we were both nurses working different schedules, but it still worked out to work out together. And we noticed we were able to motivate each other and she'd be like, okay, I'll see you in the morning. And I'm like, okay, I guess so. And then I'd be there.
Yeah.
So it really was very helpful.
Yeah.
Now, where were you before you came to 100?
Were
you at Snap Fitness?
I was. I had just moved here before I came to 100, probably like maybe like 5 months before I joined. So I had just came to this area. And so that was the closest gym, and it was a 24-hour gym for me, but it just wasn't kind of my training style, and I just knew that I wasn't pushing myself as hard as I had been pushing myself before when I was with a trainer. So that kind of brought me over there. And then a longtime friend that I was friends with named Sonia, Ryan's cousin, I knew her, and I know that she really kills it in the gym, always 100%. And I was like, you know what? I need to go where she's at. And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just built the community from there on.
If you want to, the essence of beast mode is Sonia.
Yeah, for sure.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So how has sort of building this relationship, partnering up together through not only your friendship, but your workouts, how has that helped you guys in your health and fitness journey?
I think I don't think I'd be where I am at if I didn't have a supportive friend. Now I have a husband and he's great, but I think being able to come to the gym with a friend and we're able to push each other and past our limits or, you know, to our limits, I think it's just a game changer for my fitness level at least.
Yeah. So, both nurses.
Yeah.
And we had quite a few nurses in the last gym. So what is it, do you, the nurse, the your comrades that you work with, do you have a lot of nurses that do the things that you guys do that fitness-wise?
No. Unfortunately, there's a few, but not all nurses are really all gung-ho into their fitness, unfortunately.
Which is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About our culture.
Yeah.
Because if I was in care of a nurse, I would want a nurse like you guys that I knew cared about their health and fitness, and we're going to care about my health more from the views that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing a nurse that's very unhealthy taking care of me would would not only disappoint me, but it would make me kind of feel like, what's the point here?
Yeah. Well, I always felt like, and I think I've mentioned it in the past, like the fact that you guys do what you do is not something I think I could do, you know. So I've always been admired you guys for the fact that you guys have had very chaotic schedules, and you still maintain your fitness. You still get in here. You still maintain your nutrition. And I could tell you right now, if I had your jobs, I would fail.
And that's why a lot of the nurses probably are not so much into their fitness, is because of the schedule is chaotic. Some of them work nights, like Lexi, she worked, and then some of them, you know, are in the days, and it's a long 12-hour shift, and when you're just exhausted on that day off, you just need to kind of have a reset. So, and when you're also, if you're not prepared and you're not really ready to make that fitness commitment, I mean, just the availability of junk every day as a nurse, every day is a food day, or every day is a birthday. So,
right.
And they're not bringing in, you know, protein shakes, or you're not bringing in your healthy foods for you to snack on, really, unfortunately. So it's a nurse community, and that's really what they're striving for instead.
Are you suggesting that the hospital community is not health-based? Like, they don't bring in health foods for the snacks?
Unfortunately. What? Darn it. Nope, they don't.
No, it's normally like cupcakes and donuts.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, that's like a sweet treat. And if you're celebrating somebody, I think they're probably like, ooh, let's bring a sweet treat. Not a high protein snack.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's almost every other day.
It's often.
It's very often.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what makes you guys different? Why can you guys do it and a lot of nurses can't?
I think we have a great support system. I mean, we have you two, and I have Fallon. She has me. We're always keeping each other on track. You guys are constantly asking me, how are you doing on your nutrition? How are you feeling? Asking how, like, if anything needs to be changed. You guys are, you know. So I think I have the proper support system. And that's really the reason I've definitely been able to stick with it, because I've actually never stuck with anything for a long period of time and been successful at it. I mean, I've done it, I don't know. But either way, so I think just having the support system and the friend that's always going to be like, hey, do you want to go on a run this morning? Or, hey, we definitely need to do cardio today after our lift. Things like that. I think that's really what keeps us on track, I would say.
Grounded, for sure.
So if you were just on your own by yourself, no trainers, no friend, nothing like that, you don't think you would work out the same way? You don't think your health would be the same way? Would you even work out at all?
Well, I did do that a couple months or 6 months ago, maybe. I was by myself for at least 3 or 4 months, I think. Mm-hmm. And I did get like an app of like a social media girl, and I like followed her workouts, but I definitely did not work out as hard. The first time coming back and having you two train me, and then Fallon was with me too, it definitely was a humbling experience I remember. So I think I do, I would work out. I just wouldn't work out as hard, and I would not work out as often. So it was like, oh, I'll just go to the gym one time this week. It's okay. I'm really busy the other days.
Right, right.
So I think I just would start to fall back into that pattern more and more until I was just not going to the gym at all, mm-hmm. knowing myself.
I think you said it very eloquently, and that is, you know, the support system, how you describe that, mm-hmm. how key that is for the majority of Americans, that they don't have the support system. They don't have someone at home pushing them. I kind of think you're the one pushing your husband versus your husband pushing you, because I know him and I train him. But outside of that, you know, I think that's
good. She's a support for him.
That's right. And that's probably why he's coming to see me, is because you're pushing him to go.
He has no choice.
Yeah.
Poor
but anyway, I thought that was very well stated, because I think that's the problem we have with a lot of people, is they don't have that trainer. They don't have that support system. They don't have that friend that kind of gets them through that, I don't want to go to the gym. You know, because me and we deal with it too, right? Mm-hmm. The other day I went over there. Everybody's got that new bench. I'm like, I want to try the new bench, but I don't feel like working out. So it took me about 30 minutes of lifting, and I finally got into it, you know. So we deal with the same things you do.
What about you, Fallon? What makes you different?
For me, like you said, if I was just working like with no community behind me and just working a one-on-one with a trainer, I would need at least a trainer. I think I've done that without the trainer, and my workouts were just subpar. You don't push yourself as hard. Anyone will tell you after they've actually worked out with a trainer that they are working harder than what they thought they were working out before. It's just,
no, it's very true.
It's so true. But like, if I didn't have any community outside, I would probably fall off a little bit outside of the gym. I would work hard with just a trainer, but outside I would not have anybody, you know. Unfortunately, my husband is not working out anymore, and I got two young kids and life is busy. And if I didn't like have anybody checking in on me and having the accountability, life just, it's much easier to fall off the wagon, for sure. So
life's very consuming.
Yeah, very consuming.
Very consuming,
on the go.
High pressure. A lot of things pull our attention away from our health and our nutrition. So it's very natural for that to happen. That's why you need your friends and your support system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy to just allow it to take a back seat. And that's kind of why we talked about what we talked about last week, mm-hmm. which was analyzing your priorities and putting your priorities in the right order. Making health a priority, and having an accountability partner, having a workout partner, having a trainer are all fantastic ways to do that. Mm-hmm. I've had many clients tell me, they're like, especially longtime clients, say, I know what I'm doing, but I pay you mostly for the accountability.
Well, that's the majority of my clients right now.
I know that you're expecting me to show up, and if I don't come, then you're going to be texting me saying, hey, where were you at? You know, why didn't you come? What's going on? And it makes them get here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, about 60% of my clients probably could do this themselves by now. But they won't. I mean, I'm the same way. I worked out with Fallon a week ago. And we did what we do. We did...
I made you do
back and tries. You know, and she was coming up with everything. I'm like, man, I'm kind of kicking my ass right now. So,
yeah.
So it does. It's the human condition. The human condition, we push ourselves harder when we're with someone.
Yep. Oh, 100%.
Trainers need trainers too.
That's right.
Well, that's right, Fallon. That brings me a little bit to my next point, is you are a certified personal trainer mm-hmm. yourself. You are a trainer, and you still take advantage of the use of a trainer to train you.
Yeah.
Even though you could do it on your own.
For sure.
And you talked a little bit about why you think that's beneficial, but I think that's very interesting because you have all the knowledge. You know exactly what to do. You know all the form, all the technique, exercise selection, but it's still just helpful to have that little extra push from somebody.
Yeah, and to be able to pull from somebody else's, you know, banks as well with their exercises, but you'd be like, I know how to work that out, but I wouldn't have done that exercise for it. And then you're ending up killing yourself doing that, and you're like, oh, okay, so... Everybody's training styles, you can get something from, no matter what. And I was, you know, I was talking to one of your clients today as she was walking out, and she's like, I feel like I know what I could do, but, you know, I just need to see what I can do with a trainer. I was like, hey, I am a trainer here. I said, but I also use a trainer when I work out. I was like, it's honestly the accountability. You push harder. I mean, you can benefit from it all. And she was like, yeah, that's true. I have that, you know.
Oh. Well, we have a lot of people that come in and they say, I just need you to show me the things and I can do it. And you just had that recently, someone that came to Fallon and asked her to do that. But I've had a few where I try to explain to them, it's like, it doesn't work that way, mm-hmm. right? Because you have the issues of not only showing them the form, but then you think of all the different modalities and how that form gets nuanced. And then you also have...
Increase the weight,
right? It's one thing to have good form under lightweight, but having good form under heavier weight is a whole nother thing. And how do you increase the back strength to hold the shoulders back? How do you increase your core strength so you don't round your back or, you know, keep your glutes tight as you go down? These are all things that under different modalities, you have different nuances, and it's not something you just get like me showing you around the gym one day and you're ready to go. Doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I agree. Both of you guys, actually, but I want your input on this. He brought up form and the importance of learning form. Of all the people that I've trained, of all the people that I've seen work out, I've seldom seen better form than what I've seen from you two.
100%.
Yeah, and I'm not exaggerating there. Obviously, you've had good coaching, right? We've coached you up on that, but you've taken it to heart a lot more than most of our other clients. Why is that so important to you guys? Why have you put so much effort into having such great form on your exercises?
Well, for me, for form, it's just like we can lift a lot of weight. I think me and Lexi are pretty strong. So as, you know, the form is like the most important piece for me. Is keeping that core embrace, keeping those shoulders back, because if I don't, I know I'm going to get injured. I mean, just the weight I'm putting up, I know that I'm like, okay, if I'm just flopping this around, I'm going to hurt my shoulder. I'm going to hurt my lower back. So, and it's also just nice just to be able to like focus that on your core, because you're strengthening your core all throughout. So, and that's, you know, a lot of the exercises that you do. So,
well, I would say that your form, Fallon, has been locked in for quite some time. I mean, you're pretty solid throughout. Your form has gotten really good. I mean, like I don't like it's good. I don't know how else to say it. So, you know, then yours is like more progressed, mm-hmm. rock solid over the last year.
I think it's important to me, just one, because no one wants to get hurt. I have a high stress job. I don't want to be hurt in trying to go to work. But also, my goal is to build muscle, keep the muscle on. I feel like if I'm having bad form, I'm not going to be building as much muscle as I could, or building the muscle where I want it, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like if we're doing a leg day and I'm having not the best form, I could be working a different muscle than what I want to work, or feel, or at least feeling it in a different place than I would need to feel it. So I think that's why it's important to me too, just
a little
build
small
the muscle
correction.
Yeah, but that's right. Also the importance of having you guys, because I do know how to do the form. When you're tired, you lose your form, so you guys are always there to be like, no, shoulders back, mm-hmm. you're getting tired, keep them back. Mm-hmm. And so that's the another pro of having you guys also.
But you're also getting the point now that you can recognize it.
Yes.
I've noticed in your workouts,
Sure.
If you get to the end of a set, you'll kind of tell me. Like, I'll see it maybe on the last rep or two that form's starting
to drop
break down.
5 pounds because my form is breaking down.
Well, yeah. You'll sit down and you'll be like, those last two weren't very good, or like that last one wasn't good. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're right. You felt that and you recognized it, and that's a really important step. It's one thing just to be able to emulate the right form. It's another thing to realize, oh, here's when my form broke down, so maybe I need to, you know, do a lighter weight or do less reps or something to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, that's a very high level of lifting, because I can only think of two people that have that ability to feel the form when it breaks down, and that's you guys. I don't think I've trained anyone else that can actually know when their form's breaking down.
Well, I learned from great people.
I think Wendy and Chris. Wendy and Chrissy.
Yeah, I'm not training them right now.
Well, yeah, not training them right now.
I mean, yeah, if I had them, yes. But
yeah. So, Fallon, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of your recent past when it comes to working out. So, other than just being a gym junkie, you actually did a bodybuilding competition somewhat recently. How long ago was that?
I would say this April was a full year. So this past April. So it's about a year and a half.
So talk a little bit about the difference between just your day-to-day workout, kind of like you're doing now, versus when you were preparing for that show. What was the difference in how you handled your workouts and your nutrition?
So my nutrition was and my workouts when I was preparing for that show was very strict. I really didn't have it. It's horrible to say, but I didn't have a lot of time outside of prepping for my show. So I was doing two-a-day workouts. I was doing a workout at 5 a.m., a HIIT session. And then I would, if I had to work that day, I would come right back after work at 4 o'clock and do almost a two-hour lift. So, and I was doing that 5 days a week. So it was a lot. I prepped two times a week for all my meals. So I would, you know, once you start to get your meal prep and everything like that, it can, you can get a meal prep done in an hour. But you definitely, you're bringing to work a huge cooler. And you're like, sorry, guys, got to bounce for a minute. I got to go eat. It's only been 2 hours. They're like, oh, my gosh, you eat so much. So constantly eating all the time. And a big thing of that for me was making sure I would make sure to go to bed early because I needed that reset. So I did miss out some good time with my kids, which I had really good support for, and just being kind of present in like other aspects of my life. I wouldn't regret it. I don't regret it. It was definitely something that really showed, you know, my commitment to something. I stuck it out. It was hard, but I would never regret that. Today, I mean, anybody that there's some people out there that can really keep it in, and they'll go right into a show, and then they will build muscle, you know, and go post show prep, and then they'll do another show, and they'll do post show prep, and they'll do that for years and years and years. After my first show, I'm not gonna lie, that didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. I needed to have some normal life for a while. I needed to spend some time with my kids. I needed those sugars again. I needed to, you know, not live in the gym. So I definitely have taken this time for a break. I think I'll probably do one more to make with a different coach, you know, to see what that coach can do for me. A little bit different show, but now I work out 3 to 4 times a week. You know, I probably only eat like 4 meals a day versus like 6. Not all of them are on point. but I'm spending more time, quality time with my family for sure. I'm on the go all the time. I have 4 practices a week, 2 games a weekend, and then getting in here and work full time. So just well, it's just I different. Will, it is different.
I will say we were glad you got back to normal.
She was cranky.
Very cranky.
I was so hungry.
Yeah. It's intense.
Like, when she came in, everyone kind of like kept their distance at that last month.
Everyone was said, like, you know, you're super lean at that time. So, you know, I had a couple of people like, I really hope like you gain some muscle back because you look kind of scary. You look like you look really, you know, cachexic, like your face is sunken in and everything. And I mean, yeah, I felt like I looked older, thinner for sure. But, you know, I got it back for sure.
Well, and the thing about that, too, is there's no room for error. There's no days off. It's 24/7 you're on. Every decision you make, every choice you do is thinking about that show and showing up on stage looking exactly how you want to look. Mm-hmm. versus the lifestyle you have now where you're on a lot of the time. You're here working out. You're still trying to follow a good diet. But the time for, okay, I'm going to eat this meal that isn't the best for me. Or I can take a day off if I need to take a day
Enjoy it with my family,
for sure. Yeah, I'm spending time with my family. There's room for that. Instead of being 100% on and 0% off, you can kind of be like a 90-10 or an 80-20, which is kind of what we preach on this podcast for lifestyle purposes. It's not a sustainable lifestyle to be a bodybuilder constantly 100%. For a decade or two. And like I said, some people do it, but that's their life if they do.
It takes a toll on them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And even a health toll.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Which we could get into, but a mental toll as well. But I think the better balance is sort of being on most of the time and then still fitting in some room for those times to be off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can still be incredibly healthy. You don't have to do the bodybuilding thing. With that said, I'm glad that you did it as a challenge to yourself. I'm glad that you got to experience what that dedication was like. And I think it's, tell me if I'm wrong, but it makes everything else easier now. Knowing that you went through that and did that, doing just a normal few workouts a week, following your meal plan pretty close is easy.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. I also know like what will happen when I stick to a diet. So I know I'm like, well, if I want that formula again and I want to look at, you know, midway to that, I know exactly how to get there. So
it's, that's true.
It's just the mindset, really. It's just turning that mindset on for me and being like, okay, I'm ready to do it again. Let's flip the switch.
When are you planning on doing the next one?
I'm going to say a good like 8 months from now. Yeah. Because I don't want to kill myself with 2-a-days. I just want to, you know, start gradually leaning out and kind of take it. So, and then I'll do the 16-week prep, of course. But
yeah.
I would like to take a longer prep.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. It wouldn't be as stressful that way.
No, not as stressful. I had a lot of weight to shed. So that's probably why I was doing so much workouts.
But. Right. Yeah.
But now I feel like I have that muscle if I could just keep, you know, get my caloric, getting the cardio in consistently 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a lot easier.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So, Lexi, I want to switch gears to you a little bit now. There's no bodybuilding in your past.
No.
However, something that I know about you because I've known you for a very long time is that you used to be a long distance runner.
Yes.
And you weren't really a resistance training weightlifting type of
Never.
Girl. Tell me a little bit about your time as a long distance runner and what got you into that, what that was like, and how that differs from the way you treat your health now.
Well, I grew up always being an athlete. Like, I always played sports. I was, like, there was never a choice. Like, I always had to be in a sport every season. My parents were like, you're not going to do nothing. So, but I wasn't ever very good. Like, I was always mid. And so, I joined track in middle school, and the coach was like, oh, you can run long distance. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't know. My parents said I had to do something, so give me something to do.
She fits so well with Hunter.
So I was like, okay, that's fine. And so then I started running track, and I never was a sprinter. Let's get that very clear. But I could do the long distance, and I was pretty average at it. And so then I went to high school, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll do cross country. It's either cross country or tennis. And I was below the C team on tennis. So cross country it was. And I actually really enjoyed it. Like, it was like a big, looking back on my past, it was like a big milestone for me, like being able to say I was a runner and like kind of good at it. And the problem was I was only ever running. So I was running miles on my, like 6 miles a day. And there was no nutrition aspect there ever. It was just, I always had a coach and it was always for running, but I never had anyone talking to me about my nutrition. So all through high school, I did cross country and then I played basketball too, which is a different type of cardio, I guess. And I did play. I wasn't very good, but I was really fast. and so I could do that part of it. But so during basketball season, I wanted to be able to keep my my long distance training intact. So I would run 2 miles before, either before school or before a basketball game or before basketball practice. And so I was running 2 miles, I was playing basketball, but I still never had a nutrition aspect there. So I was essentially either not eating or just eating like an apple and peanut butter and like some soup a day. But I was like taking my body through these vigorous workouts. Like I was running like a ton all day, every day of the year. And then I got to college. I ran cross country in college, and I was eating a little bit more probably, but still not eating a lot. And I was still able to run 4, 5, 6 miles a day. I've ran 3 half marathons. And then I finally just stopped running and I started eating a lot. And then I was like stuck in this like overweight, like I didn't quite know what to do. I didn't know how to lose the weight. I was either like run and not eat or figure out something else. And so I remember my mom one day, she was like, Lex, you just gotta get back into it. She's like, you just gotta figure something out. So I found a gym and they taught me, you guys taught me everything I really needed to know. I started lifting weights, which was a big change from what I did in the past, because in the past I'd only ever ran. So I went from running, the only way I knew how to work out was to run. So I went from running like 6, 7 miles, you know, daily to doing nothing. And then back now I'm in this weight training phase and I'm like, okay, this is like working. This is weird. Like I'm actually enjoying lifting weights. I'm seeing a difference. My nutrition still wasn't there in the beginning, but you guys taught me about it. I was feeling, I don't know, I was feeling great. So that's kind of how I transitioned into the weightlifting aspect, I would say. And then now I lift weights and eat good, healthy-ish.
Where did you run at college?
The Longview Community College. Okay. I only did it for a year, and it just wasn't my thing in college. I was burnt out because running every day is exhausting. I was waking in college. I was waking up at 4 a.m. to get to Longview by 5 to run 5 or 6 miles, and then go to class at 7:30 or 8.
How did your body feel when you were like? When you were running and you said that you weren't really eating, how did you feel as far as when you were long distance running?
Looking back, I just remember being exhausted all the time. And in high school, I think I don't know if it's maybe normal to be tired. I don't know. I just remember I drank a ton of water. Mm-hmm. And if I was hungry, I drank water. I didn't eat. I just drank water, you know? Mm. And looking back, it was like it fits in the category of an eating disorder 100%. But no one was telling me, don't eat, Lexi. And no one was telling me, no, you look bad, Lexi. People just weren't saying anything at all about my nutrition. Like, no one was ever asking, what are you eating? Like, why are you so tired on the basketball bench? Like, you shouldn't be that tired. You haven't played that long. Like, no one's asking, what did you eat? Like, have you eaten today? Which I guess they shouldn't have to ask. But
right.
I was just in this constant, like, tiredness all the time. So now, and then transitioning into the weight training, years later, I'm tired for different reasons, but I have much more energy to like make it throughout the day, and I'm eating the proper foods and training the right way. And so I think that's made a big change in my life for sure. I forgot the question that you asked.
Do you still run long distances ever?
I ran 4 miles on St. Patrick's Day last year. But I do. I run a mile. The most I'll probably ever run is 2. Yeah, 2 or 3 miles is the goal for like if I'm. I say once a week. It's probably like once every other week. If I don't have time to like drive to the gym, drive home, and do what I need to do, I will make like my cardio or my training for that day running, just because it's easy, accessible, and you can literally do it anywhere. Right. So I do not run as often anymore, but whenever I am running, I'm not miserable anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's another big thing is I could run probably every day. I wouldn't run as many miles, but I'm much more happier when I'm running now than whenever I was running in high school or in college.
When I was running, I would always, after a mile and a half, I would get into this kind of the zen moment where, like, I could run
forever.
Forever.
Literally.
You know, and it was really weird. It's like you have to run quite a few miles to get to that state.
Yeah, and like usually at like 1 3/4 mile for me. And then when I hit 2, I'm just like, just striding along. Yes. Here we go. We can keep going.
I will say this. I have never felt that feeling before. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's a runner high is what they call it. They call it runner high.
I guess I just don't have that in my genes.
I think I've chatted with Amber. She knows what I'm talking about.
She definitely does.
Yeah.
Because she's got the same thing going. So you have a little bit of history of long distance running too, Fallon?
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't run long distances. My longest distance probably is like 5 miles. That's five. It. Yeah.
That's pretty far for me.
Yeah. So, and I would just, it was quite a few years ago before my babies, before I was married. So, and before we went like to the military when we moved away here. So I would say maybe like 10 years ago, probably. But yeah, I would just, there was a certain neighborhood I would go to. And cause I just love the scenery and the trees and just kind of the houses. And it was just like a nice run, and it was 3 miles, and I would just run that, you know, probably about 2 times a week, you know.
So you guys have both, you know, everyone has a fitness journey where they have a starting point and where they, you know, it never ends, right? But you guys have both come quite a ways in your fitness journey. And, you know, one of the things we want our listeners to gain from is kind of your experience. So thinking about your fitness journey, what are some tips or advice that you guys can give that could help someone who's sitting there looking? Well, we've talked about it before. There's people that come up and they sit in their car because they don't want to. They're afraid to walk into the gym, but they know they have to. So when it comes to someone who's just starting out, and specifically women, and maybe even specifically women that live very, very busy lives, you know, what advice would you give them?
I would say, and not everyone can afford this, and I understand, but finding someone that's going to help keep you accountable. Find a friend. You know, start with a friend. Oh, there's plenty of ladies and, you know, in my neighborhood, they're out there every single morning walking with a buddy. You know, they're starting that. They're getting up and it's even dark out, you know, they're doing that. But they're doing it with somebody. I think getting up from never working out, you got to have some sort of accountability, I think, for sure. I prefer, obviously, you know, work with a trainer so you can kind of get your nutrition and your fitness level and what, you know, your restrictions are and stuff. But if you can't do that, then like I said, just try to find like an accountability.
Well, here at Anytime Fitness, we have the hybrid training program that makes it affordable for everybody.
We do.
And it's a great way to meet people, find that community, find that friendship, because that's the way that you guys kind of met each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the gym at the same time, working with the same trainer. Maybe you're doing different workouts, but then it's kind of natural to say, oh, they're both working out legs today. Let's have them mix their workouts together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So then you guys are talking, then you meet each other, and the rest is history. Yeah. And we've seen that with many of our clients by putting them, they're in the same place, working out together, you know, even with the same, doesn't have to be with the same trainer, but they're in close proximity. I mean, it's natural when two people are in close proximity going through the same challenging thing together, they're going to bond a little bit. They bond a little bit. They get to meet each other. And next thing you know, you've got a friendship. The gym, we have found, is a fantastic place to make friends and meet people.
Yeah.
And they're good friends, like quality friends that care about your health, your well-being, and, I mean, essentially everything in between. You know, like we're similar and, you know, different at the same time.
Well, I mean, I know with my clients, it's already happened here at any time, is that I've had a couple new clients that I have together. And when one of them is like has an appointment, has to move their time, you know, the other one's like, where's so-and-so? You know, because they like him there.
Yeah.
You know, because they it's kind of like we have this little community going when we're training.
They just don't like Matt's eyes being on him the whole time.
That's true, too.
Man, I can slack off when you're working with the other person. I don't have
that
today.
Well, you know who's the number one? It's funny you mentioned that. Guess who said that to me inside the first week he started training?
Spencer?
Who are you talking about? Lexi.
No, not Lexi.
Oh.
Hunter.
Oh.
Hunter.
Because he'd be like off in the corner, like, I said, what
doing
are you
nothing,
doing?
Yeah.
Doing nothing. I was like, because, you know, I don't know if I like this when you're just training me, because I could go off and hide and you didn't know where I was at. And then I would just come back and start going again. So now I'm going to have more one-on-one time with him. And he's been, now he was glad when Amy and Kelsey came on. So,
yeah, now
he's
got
they're great. I love them. I miss them so much.
They would be really great guests for this podcast.
Oh, they would.
We ought to work on that, Matt.
Absolutely. Yeah. We can get them on here.
I think another thing, just to add to new people working out, is just start. You just have to start somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. I think that was a big thing for me. Even whenever I went from having a trainer to no trainer and I changed gyms, I was intimidated walking into a new gym. And just walking in and seeing all these big, I just remember seeing like big, large men. There were more than just big, large men walking around, but that's all I saw. Very intimidating, but you just have to get started. And honestly, no one's paying attention to you. If you put your headphones in, the world's out is kind of what I did. And it really helped. And you don't even have to start at a gym. You can just start by walks, you know, and then someone will see you walking and then they'll probably join you and say hi in your neighborhood.
Right.
So
right.
You just have to start. You have to pick a day. Don't save it for the nighttime. Just pick a day, wake up and just start doing some type
of
activity.
So do you think it's your health that motivates you guys? Do you think it's your, you were talking about lack of energy. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's, you know, hey, I don't like looking this way. What are some of the things that's like I gotta keep going, you know, what is it that motivates you guys to continually stay fit?
I think when I was younger, I think it was to be skinnier, I would say. And literally, like when I ran cross country and ran all those miles and didn't eat, it was to like be skinny and like have the abs and do all of that. As I've gotten older and able to reflect back on like my past experiences in high school and in college, I've now, even like in the past year, even I've been able to transition my mindset to be more of for the long term. Especially in our job as nurses, you see like the older men and women not being able to do like simply get up and walk on their own, and they're like 6 years old. So I think it's more for the longevity now rather than before. It was for to be skinny and look good. Now it's more like, okay, I don't really care how much I weigh or really what I look. I mean, I obviously would like to stay fit, but it's more to be healthy, live a long life, and being able to do it in a way I want to do it, not have to rely on other people as I get older, and just to be there for my family whenever I'm older, being able to be active 100%. And fit.
It's interesting that you say that, because we talk a lot on this podcast about longevity. That's both of our main focuses. And hearing you say that, I'm sure you would agree, Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a lot of people don't start their journey focused on longevity, but it's almost like that's where they end up, because they do some different things. You try some different fitness things. Oh, I really enjoy this. I really enjoy that. But after a certain period of time, you come to realize that the whole goal is just for it to be a lifestyle and to do it as long as you can and to be as healthy as long as you can. What you're doing in the meantime is just little side quests almost. It's like, oh, I'm going to go like try to, lift a bench, a bunch of weight, like what Matt's trying to do, or run a really long distance, or do a bodybuilding show, any of these things. But the ultimate goal is still the same. And that goal is longevity, health for the long term.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think in my brain, I use like goals. So like my long-term goal is going to be longevity, but my short-term goal this week is to at least just come to the gym 3 times, or at least just run once this week. So that's the way my brain works. And that helps me honestly get through the week, though. Like, oh, like I might have to work these 2 days, but I get to go to the gym on my days off. And, you know, when I'm here, I don't use any thought. Like, I come in here empty brain. You guys tell me exactly what to do. I do it. I mean, obviously, I know the motions and stuff, but it's just, that's just kind of how it
works. Talk to me a little bit about when you guys, you don't know what you're going to come in to do, mm-hmm. right? And then we put you through it, and you complain a little bit.
Just a little.
Just
a most
little.
The whole time.
Yeah, most the whole time. Can I only do 3 rounds versus 4 rounds? But then you get through it, and then when you're done, talk to me about how you feel after you complete it. What do you feel like?
Oh, it's like a little victory, you know? It's, when before we start the workout, we're like, slaughter us. Give us a good workout. You know,
well, you say that. I do not say
we want to see our butts bigger after this, you know, like, so we ask for the workout and then we get it. And yes, we complain. Cause we're like, oh man, this is really hard. Like you're really hard dying. But then afterwards, I mean, you have that whole time, that serotonin release. I feel like, you know, a victory for the day. I personally, even though it's not fun, I look forward to being sore the next day because it's in my head is like, all right, I really did work mm-hmm. that muscle out. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like the soreness a little bit. So it's just like a nice little victory. And I feel good afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the sign of growth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know I did something because I'm sore.
Yeah. Exactly. That was really hard, again, but I did it, you know?
It always feels better whenever you're done. But the same thing with running. That's why I ran. The run maybe was miserable every time, but you feel so great after. You just feel so much better about mm-hmm. yourself. And, like, you actually, to me, if I work out, I feel accomplished for the day, usually. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, and I think that's the point I was trying to get at for our listeners is fitness is one of those things that when you do it, it's such a high to finish mm-hmm. a hard workout.
Yes.
And it's so beneficial to your psyche mentally, mm-hmm. Not just your body, but your mental health. I'm glad you guys reiterated that.
Yeah.
There was something you said earlier, Lexi, that I wanted us to dive down and talk about a little bit. We've talked about nutrition a lot. We talk about the lack of nutritional education in the medical field, but you talked about the lack of nutritional education in the school sports realm.
Yes.
Mm.
And, you know, probably all the way up through college even.
That's bad in college
and
too.
That is a big, because that's when kids are growing, mm-hmm. they're developing. Good nutrition is very important. They're exerting a lot of energy working out, and there's just nothing there at all mm-hmm. for nutritional education purposes, and it's extremely important, and that would be a good opportunity to set the groundwork mm-hmm. for a long-term health.
Yeah.
If kids learned it at a young age, here's how to, you know, here's how to hit a baseball, here's how to run with good form, you know, here's how to tackle somebody in football, and also... here's how to have good nutrition.
Yeah.
Why can't that be part of it too? But it's none of the focus at all. And I can say that, you know, I was pondering a little bit of my own history in athletics, and I would say I would have been way more successful if I had proper nutrition at that time. Mm. And I think it's a huge disservice to young people that they don't get that education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get the recover, you know, routine of, all right, everyone, go home, stretch, get some good sleep, you know, stuff like that, but never, like, how to recover your muscles,
yeah.
you know?
It was more, for me, I think, I had great parents, and they were great, but they also didn't really know much about nutrition either. So, while my parents were always working out, and they, like I said, they always made me stay active, I never had a choice but to be in a sport or doing some physical activity after school. They never talked to me about food, and they didn't even know I wasn't really eating. And granted, maybe they should have been paying more attention, but they had 3 kids, but I mean, it's not their fault, but no one was talking to me about it. It just like was absent the whole time. Food was just absent from my brain. So.
Right. I think that's a problem in all, high schools in college. I've had trained a number of college athletes where nutrition mm-hmm. is terrible.
Yeah.
I've trained a number of college athletes who have terrible form. And I'm like, wait, you had trainers? Did they not talk to you about how to do this? And even Ryan, who owned the last gym, talked about how bad the trainers were and when he played college football.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's weird that that's a problem going on in our education system, that the nutrition and the guidance of training is so poor.
Yeah. I truly wish I would have eaten a little bit more in high school. I think I would have. I just think it's the stigma almost to be – maybe it just was for me in my head, and I don't want to speak for other people, but just to be skinny and to,
I think that's like,
it's just a whole thing.
If you're on social media, that's a real big thing. Yeah. Because
when you guys were both going through high school, was social media,
it was getting very popular.
Mine was more in my 20s I'm not saying like every fitness person has gone through any kind of like eating disorder, but you know, when I had my own, mine was a different type of eating disorder.
Right.
But mine was more in my 20s. And I think honestly, that's probably when more of that focus, you know, kind of was for me, was that's when kind of all the MySpace, sorry, that dates me a little bit, but MySpace and you know, Facebook first came out. And so that was really, something that kind of probably had a lot of influence on me.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Parker, do you have any last thoughts as we get close to the end here?
Well, I'm just really excited that you guys finally came on the podcast. That's what I'll say, because we tried for a very long time, and you know, Matt and I, we had conversations about it, and you guys weren't around, and it was like, this would be such a great podcast. These for our listeners to hear you guys, hear your experiences, the things, the knowledge that you bring to the table, the progression that you've made. And I just hope that everyone listening, listen to this again, honestly. If you've listened to it once, listen to it twice. Listen to what these ladies have to say. It's very valuable information from people that have done it. Mm-hmm. And people that have been where, like, I'll ask you guys this. I know everyone has goals. Mm-hmm. Everyone has things they want to change. But you guys are pretty much where you need to be for the long term. You guys could just keep doing what you're doing and be extremely healthy, extremely happy with yourself. Sure, you're going to try to
tweak a little bit here and there.
But, you know, you're kind of at the second chapter of your journey. You got where you wanted to be. Now you're kind of maintaining and just small tweaks. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see that. Work with both of you for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure, and I hope it continues for a lot longer.
Yeah, it's been great. Mm-hmm. For sure, for both of us.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on, and this will be session one with these two.
Session one and done.
We'll see what the topic is next time and what these next couple months for our growth is.
Yes. There you go. There, as you get closer to your show, we'll probably have you on again.
I wouldn't have me close to my show.
No. We'll have you. Let's have you mid like 17 weeks out.
Yeah.
Before you get into the 16 week grind. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And we can go talk about a relationship then and then a relationship after.
Yeah.
No, it's a good ride.
Yeah.
So I don't want to ward anybody off, but it's a commitment for sure. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Any parting thoughts, girls?
I don't think so.
No.
Find an accountability partner, because I think that changes the game for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a theme of a few of our podcasts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So people always say, the people with accountability partners, that's
someone
what they
that
say
pushes you
is
for
the
sure.
most important.
And a good support system at home too. I couldn't be where I am without the support of my husband. Constantly, I got two little kids, so being able to break away or on my, you know, set the time in the morning where, you know, he's at home, before. He's like, there were some times there during my show. He's like, are you seriously going to the gym again? I'm like, I'm sorry. But he was completely supportive the whole time. So,
and even if you don't have the home life, you can find, like, there's plenty of, like, communities you could find, I hate to say online, but really there are good ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm even in, like, a chat from the old trainer thing I used to... She just sends, like, have a good day. Let me know how your workout was. And you just send an emoji back. And that, all I need to see is that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can go to the gym today. Mm-hmm. So even just, like, little things like that to just, like, get it, keep it on your mind. But, yeah, that'd be my piece of advice.
Well, I will say that women tend to be, and this is a good thing, but women tend to be more on the emotional side. Mm-hmm. So they need emotional triggers.
Yeah.
To help them choose to go. What are a couple of things that stand in the way of that? That are like cause you not to go, but you overcome them.
Oh, well, like if you're just having a bad day, yeah. The last thing you want to do is go somewhere else. You just had work. The last thing you want to do is go somewhere else. So, I mean,
But you know, when we're standing there as your trainer waiting for you, that's your trigger to go.
Yeah, you have no choice. I'm not kidding. That's what gets me out of bed most of the mornings. Yeah. Is like, okay. I gotta go. Parker made the time for me. Matt made the time for me. I have to make the time for them. But I'm at the same time, I'm making the time for myself.
Yeah.
And without even knowing it. So,
you know, being human is a big thing too. So allowing yourself, you're like, you know what? I woke up today and I'm like so tired. And I just I'm not feeling it today. I want to just like lay here. Those days are going to happen.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know. One and done. Like, forgive yourself for that day. Move on. Keep going. The next day, you'll be there. Yeah. You know?
Just pick up where you left off.
But that's when I know somebody is bought in. Mm-hmm. When people are like, because you have the people. Matt knows what I'm talking about. As a trainer, sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. Some people are that way.
Yeah.
And those are the people that I'm like, you don't have it. Right? Because, and I mean, it's other than rare absences. Mm-hmm. But it's when people get to the point, when clients get to the point where they walk in and they say, I'm having a rough day. I'm not feeling it today. I'm so tired. But I showed up.
Yeah. Right.
I say, okay, now you have it. Now you have what it takes. Because you're willing to get here even when it's the hardest. Then you're going to make it and you're going to be able to do what it takes. And you're going to ultimately be successful.
Yeah. I think what motivates me to go to the gym day in and day out, just you guys, like having friends, you know, I mean, that's honestly when I am struggling, you know, if you guys aren't around and I don't have anybody here, I know I have to do it on my own. But this sucks. but if I have someone around that I know, you know, then it makes it much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah.
So Matt, this was episode 40, correct?
No, 39. Ooh,
39. 39. Oh, we almost hit the even 40.
That's okay. Yeah. We like to be odd.
I always make fun of Matt for his age on this podcast. So we didn't want to bring up age for you guys here today.
Like I said, 39.
39. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Episode 39. Very special guest today. We are very thankful for them coming on, and we will be back next week with you guys for another episode.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.